Lionel Shriver once said, "Only a country that feels invulnerable can afford political turmoil as an entertainment." Keep this in mind as we discuss today the recent election of Giorgia Meloni and what it means for the future of Europe. My name is Dr. David Waterloo.
And my name is Elizabeth Ann Stewart.
And you are watching Geopolitics in Conflict.
Io sono Giorgia! Sono una donna! Sono una madre! Sono italiana! Sono cristiana! Non me lo toglierete!
In Europa sono un po' preoccupati dalla Meloni. Che succederà? E che succederà? Che è finita la pacchia!
Giorgia Meloni, who's set to become Italy's first female prime minister, the Democratic Party have already conceded.
I think warning the Italian parties that the EU is watching this very carefully. If Giorgia Meloni does not play the game and tries to go against the EU, then she said, we have tools.
All right.
All right.
What's going on with Europe now?
Well,
or Italy, that is.
Italy, but I think you said it right. I think it's not just Italy. It's Europe as a whole. And, you know, the election already happened, so we're not really going to be talking about that.
No.
But we are really going to be talking about what this means for Europe going forward, because we're seeing a lot of changes happening in Europe.
Yeah, which means now the unpopular or sort of populism is coming to Europe. Why is this, you may ask yourself? There are a lot of factors, and one at the top that comes in is economic conditions.
Absolutely.
Let alone because...
pretty bad.
Yeah, well, that's common sense what's going on in Europe right now. We're all aware of what's going on, let alone what just happened 2 days ago with Nord Stream 1 and
Nord Stream 2,
which is another conversation for another day.
Huge conversation, though.
So the idea of the election in itself, it's not about the far right and all this, does it matter, does it not? It's not our place to.
Absolutely.
What we want to talk about is the future of Europe.
Yep.
Because any direction starts with the first step.
Absolutely.
And in my opinion, the election of Giorgia Meloni is the first step. Because you're looking at other countries. Bulgaria.
Yep.
Slovakia.
Yep.
Poland. Hungary.
Yep.
Even France and Germany themselves internally, which, by the way... just FYI for you to know, Western media is not reporting the demonstrations that took place yesterday in Germany.
Western media is also not discussing the fact that there is a conservative party in Germany that is gaining momentum in East Germany.
So the idea of thinking in terms of, okay, now you have this election of this far right. Once again, we don't care about the far right.
Right.
But the idea of it, like... is this now an indication for how unhappy the population is? Because
absolutely.
The amount of problems in Europe.
And the problems in Europe are substantial, and they're survival level problems, right? So we're looking at, you know, people being able to buy groceries, people being able to heat their homes. And most people are not used to that level of survival problem. And I think that this could have even been predicted a little bit further back. Like when we looked at a lot of the protests that were happening, especially over the summer and then over the last couple of years, a lot of the policies that have been made have really squeezed the European people to a point where they are looking at some survival level problems for a large portion of the population and a quality of life deterioration for everybody else.
Because the standard of living
standard of living is going down.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's why you get some countries within the EU themselves. They are not in support of the sanctions against Russia because it's translating to their well-being.
Right.
And I'll give you a quick example. Serbia. Serbia yesterday, actually not yesterday, by the time you watch this video, it would be like 3 days or 4 days. So anyway, during the UN Assembly General, on the sideline, Serbian foreign minister and the foreign minister of Russia, Sergey Lavrov, signed an agreement. And Europe went into frenzy.
Yeah.
The U.S. went into frenzy. As a matter of fact, the current ambassador, whom I worked with when I was in Iraq, Christopher Hill, he's the ambassador of the U.S. right now in Serbia. And he's like dictating to Serbia, wait a minute, ambassador, you are a guest in a country.
Right.
You can't be dictating the... why am I bringing all this up? Is the idea to highlight how much now... it becomes that internal fighting within Europe.
Right.
You know,
right.
When you get von der Leyen, the president of the EU commissioner, threatening countries, because that's a threat, linguistically.
Yeah. And what she said, and they took it as that. Even Poland took it as
that. Oh, I will take it like
gosh,
that.
Absolutely.
We'll see if things go in a difficult direction. I've spoken about Hungary and Poland. We have tools.
They took it as a threat from her. But yeah, the countries absolutely took that as a threat. And Italy's people didn't bow down to that threat.
No, they won't. Because when she said, yeah, we have tools, that's usually political intimidation, political
absolutely.
Threat. And the EU members, especially with Italy, they're like, you know, what are you talking about? But that is not only about that. It's about how much fragmented the EU is.
Yeah.
Because the voting rights for the members mm-hmm. is not equal.
Yeah.
Just FYI, the voting rights within the EU, it's not equal. Unlike, for example, when you look at other organizations like ASEAN, like the SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, like BRICS, all of them, they have an equal right as far as voting. So,
and not the EU.
No. For now, Germany by itself to be dictating the terms.
Which is rough. And it's rough for people in other countries who don't really want to be told what to do in that way.
Yeah.
And I think that this, you're talking about a sign of what's to come.
Exactly.
And I think this is very much that sign.
Yeah.
This election, because it was very interesting to watch the narrative around this election, because the narrative was very polarized.
Mm-hmm.
There's one side saying, basically, this is the end of the world, that this far right candidate is being is being elected, and then so watching the media around it, even here in the United States, the media here in the United States about it was, I remember watching a news clip, and it was, the title of it was Italy's first female PM, right? But then it went into, like, it was the click on the title, right?
Yeah.
But then it went into, oh, but her crazy policies and just are through the roof, and she's anti this, and she's anti this, and she's anti this. And it's very interesting, because even one of her opponents, who is a former PM, Matteo Renzi. Yeah, and he's a former leftist prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Even he said that it was crazy to say, basically, that she was going to threaten democracy.
Yeah.
That is just absolutely unfounded and not true.
It's an easy sell for the majority of the masses that they don't understand the dynamics. And this is what we're trying to do on our show here.
Absolutely.
Is the idea of providing you sort of behind the scenes, sort of in depth, shall we say. Even it might be a brief analysis or so of sort, but at least to provide you that perspective for you to hear the other side of the argument.
Absolutely.
Because corporate media is not going to say.
No,
say, you know,
it's
they're going to just say whatever. No.
And it's interesting. She had, there's a speech of hers that traveled around the internet. And if we might put a link to that speech as well. But it was very interesting, because it pulled back to a lot of family values type things. And that's a sort of a notion that we are seeing all over the Western world right now, is sort of that pulling back to the natural sort of home conservative way of doing things. Now, whether you agree with that or not, you know, that is absolutely up to you. But there is a reason that that's happening.
Yeah.
And so there's a phenomenon called a pendulum swing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a lot of fighting and outrage over something, which it very, very often there's legitimate reason for it. There's a legitimate reason for people to be upset about a particular situation. But the pendulum swings. You know how a pendulum swings back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it swings really, really far in one direction. And when it gets to that really far position, it tends to swing back the other way. And so a really great place to be is kind of in the middle, because that's where most people end up. But what we're watching right now is a pendulum swing between where we kind of got to and policies that ended up, because they're on the far end of the pendulum swing, they're not serving people, because most people aren't on either side. Most people are in the middle. And so that pendulum is starting to swing the other way, and we're watching it swing in real time.
Yeah. Well, the idea of how now this election in itself will indicate for the future political direction or trajectory of Europe, it's remained to be seen. It's unclear, as I always argue, and this is my personal opinion, that Europe is like the child that never grows up and is always in constant need of direction and discipline. Well, who's disciplined in Europe? Is the U.S. Let's just say it straightforward. Because there's no way to say it otherwise, because we don't sugarcoat things here. So, becomes the question of, is Europe or does Europe have a foreign policy to stand on its own? And the answer is no. It does not have one, because that's a straightforward. So the other aspects of this, it has to do with countries like France, Czech Republic, Germany, and others that now they start to witness the anti-Russia sanctions is waning.
Yeah.
So you start to notice this. Of course, the energy cost as we are getting closer by. And with the incident of the two pipes, Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2, it just makes now people even more nervous. And this is why we wanted
to
come on
the air. I think they should be more nervous.
Yes.
I don't know how they're going to fix that problem, but that's a legitimate problem.
And speaking of Europe, how some countries like Slovakia, which we didn't hear about, Slovakia had demonstrations. 5,000 people went to the streets yesterday.
That's a lot.
Once again, by the time you watch this video, it will be about 3 days or so. But they went to streets yesterday, 5,000 people demonstrating, because they said enough is enough.
Yeah.
So people start to, could the election of Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni will be the first of a trend?
And I think so. And here's why. If you look at the way that humans work, people don't like to have their standard of living decrease.
No, no.
And, you know, you can run the narrative of here are the good guys and here are the bad guys. Mm-hmm. You can run that at first when there aren't any real costs to people. But the moment that there's real cost, that's when people decide, wait, I need to really be paying attention to what's happening in the world and not just resting on what other people are telling me. Yeah. Because they can tell, they start to realize that those policies are not put in place for their best interest, despite what's being said, despite what they're being told. And so only when people start to suffer do they realize that the people that they thought were looking out for them aren't.
Yeah. I do find it very interesting that in Sweden, which Sweden just had its elections as well, the far-right Democratic Party came second.
That's interesting.
That is very interesting, because usually back, if you follow a little bit of elections in Europe and all that, those kind of parties will be like far distant, you know, the fifth, the sixth, whatever. This time it comes a second, and it tells me personally, same thing now is going on in France with Marie Le Pen. Well, Marie Le Pen's been getting closer. That percentage now is shrinking. So it's just a matter of time, because this is why we're saying that the election of Giorgia Meloni can serve as an indication for what lies ahead.
Absolutely.
The question that will remain is how the United States is going to deal with that. The reason being, because we do have a military base in Italy, of course, as part of NATO.
Yeah.
But also we have other stuff like in Naples and other areas.
The U.S. has a very similar situation happening here right now. We have midterm elections coming up very, very soon. And there is a very polarizing narrative that's coming from every level of government right now about this right versus left situation. And, you know, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself, you know, believe that there is value in all people in what they believe. But that's a big narrative that's happening there and also here. So it's not just isolated to Europe. Mm-hmm. It is also a conversation that's happening here. The video that went viral of hers talked a lot about, you know, family values and identities and all of that. And there is that same conversation that's going on here.
Yeah. Well, because also the energy aspects of it.
Yes.
It's not just Europe suffering from that. We are suffering of it.
Absolutely.
We are suffering from it as well, because we're paying high prices at the gas station.
By the time you see this video, you guys see this video, we will have had another video that had to do with Walmart and Target and large retailers canceling billions of dollars worth of inventory coming in for the holidays to realign their inventories. But the reality of that is that if they're canceling it, mm-hmm. they see something coming. And you are absolutely right. In the economics, we're seeing the signs early. So just because something isn't exactly here right yeah. now doesn't That's mean right. that there aren't indications mm-hmm. that it's coming in the future. Yeah.
So one of the key questions is what will happen now that you got a member of the EU, mm-hmm. an influential one like Italy, with the prime minister or the prime minister statement saying that she's not in favor of sanctions on Russia.
Absolutely.
Why? Because Italy depends on gas from Russia.
Yep.
No. Could this mean that's an opportunity for Russia now to widen the wedge between countries?
So that's very interesting. And I very recently she mm-hmm. talked about perhaps going back on that a little bit. So you asked a very interesting question before we were talking, as mm. we were talking about that. What is that question?
I forgot.
The question was she pressured?
Oh, yes, you're right.
And one of the things you talk about all the time, David, is that, you know, being a politician, you're not in a vacuum. You're not all by yourself up there. And especially something she at least publicly. So there have been a couple of different rumors, mm-hmm. let's say, about where her affiliations really lie. Do they lie with the global elites or do they not? And so it's very challenging to take on a large group of people yeah. in that way. So I'm curious about
yeah,
your question.
They are powerful, but the thing, the way I see it working is moving forward is the idea of what will Russia do, given it's almost like Russia, this could be an opening for Russia.
Yeah.
But will it widen or not?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
It's very hard to tell.
But you see in the trends in Eastern Europe,
yep.
like in Hungary, like in Bulgaria, mm-hmm. like now it's Serbia. You know, they are realizing more and more.
Yeah.
Maybe these sanctions wasn't a smart thing to do.
You know,
overall.
It's interesting that you yeah. talk about that, because when so many people are starting to go back and forth on that,
yeah.
it totally disintegrates the narrative of Russia bad, Ukraine good.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to watch the reality of that unfold.
Yeah. And with all this in mind, that the American people have no clue that we are still sending money to Ukraine.
A lot of money
yeah,
to Ukraine.
Yeah, just yesterday or the day before. By the time you see this video yeah. again, it'll be three or four days. You know, the administration approved $12 billion. Yeah. And by the way, do you know that most Americans do not know that we've been sending $1 billion a month?
A billion and a half. A month. Absolutely. A month we're sending to the Ukraine.
So where's that money going?
That's a great question. Yeah. And that it's one of the things that I think would be absolutely most beneficial that governments will never do is to disclose where money is really going.
Oh, no.
Right?
No.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. I know it's not going to happen. Yeah. But That would at least people would yeah. see where that money is going. Yeah. But if they saw where it was going, they may not be so inclined to give it.
But here's the interesting thing about our system. Mm-hmm. Do you know in the Constitution, when the founding fathers drafted the Constitution, mm-hmm. they made sure in the first article that the people will have the right to find out where their money is spent.
That is very wise.
So the founding father, yep. we're thinking about it in terms of,
yep.
it's almost like the force, you know, this so far ahead
yep.
in terms of could the government become tyrannical or
yep.
waste taxpayers' money.
So wow, what a shocker.
Oh, no. So they put that clause there,
yeah.
but the majority of us Americans are oblivious. I'll say it.
Well,
so we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know because we're not willing to research and read and educate ourselves about.
And even if people do know, yeah. what are they going to do about it, right? So that's the other question. And I think you're absolutely right. People don't know.
Yeah.
And you talk about this all the time, too. We talk about this, about the American people being very distracted.
By design.
There was a study that came out that said actually working less, so working a four-hour week, created more productivity for companies. So companies actually did better when their employees had an extra day off, right? So 3 mm-hmm. days off per week mm-hmm. and vacation time and all of that. They were actually more productive. The company did better. But how many industries would that crater here in the United States and all over the Western world? Because we have the big Amazon, Walmart of the world for convenience. We have fast food for convenience. We have Netflix to distract us and keep us busy in our own minds. And so all of these businesses that are built around convenience, mm-hmm. if people had time to really cook, what would happen to fast food?
Yeah. That's true.
So I think that they're bringing this back to our topic. I think that there's a very interesting push for that type of a life that you enjoy a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, that's why it would be interesting to see how Europe will move forward now mm-hmm. with the upcoming elections, because they do have more other elections coming up and so forth.
Yep.
So it would be very interesting to watch where the trends are headed and how the Europeans might move forward. As I said, Italy is just the beginning.
Yep.
But which direction it's going to go is not clear yet.
Yep.
Because EU, Brussels still have some tools that they can exert.
Some tools, huh?
They can exert pressure on Italy. So
yeah.
To what degree Italy can sustain that, I do not know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Italy drop the EU altogether, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But the shift in the population mindset as far as where things are headed, mm-hmm. it doesn't bode well for Brussels.
Absolutely.
So, that's one of the key things if you want to take away from this video is understanding that trend is going to be headed in some unknown destination. And it would be interesting to see what we will find out. Well, here's the question we're going to leave you with before we check out here. So, will the whole of Europe soon be gripped by a wave of populism? Leave us some comments in the comment section and we will respond to you for that one. So, as always, prepare yourself for a changing world order. Till next time. Bye-bye.